So this morning, being the anniversary of 9/11, the gospel lesson that was in the lectionary for me just wasn't quite getting to what I wanted to talk about this morning. So it's a little different gospel lesson than what the lectionary calls for today, but familiar words that Nancy started to share a little bit with us this morning, words that I know are really familiar to many of you, and then we will talk about them together. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, send your spirit among us. May all that we say and all that we do give you honor and glory. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure that all of us can remember what we were doing, where we were, who we were with on the morning of September 11th, 2001. I was getting ready for classes, and I had the TV on in the background. I think it was Good Morning America. And it was Diane Sawyer, and I forget who her co-host was. And I remember as soon as the first plane hit the Trade Center tower, they cut to that, and the chaos and confusion of wondering, was this just an accident, that a plane had gone off course and lost communication, perhaps some of the mechanics on the plane failed, trying to figure this out, and then live on air you saw the second plane strike the second tower. And then as throughout the day, as news reports started to come in, we realized that it was much more nefarious, and it wasn't just an accident. And then the strike on the Pentagon and the crash in Pennsylvania. And I remember watching this, trying to, in just so confused, what is this? What's going on? And then the shock and the horror setting in as some details emerged and we started to realize what was going on. And the feeling that started to settle over me and my family, who we just sort of stopped everything for the day and we were watching the television. And I remember the feeling that settled over me was something akin to this, that this just doesn't happen here. This doesn't happen. This can't be real. This is America. We're safe here. This doesn't happen. And I remember the next night, as I told y'all, I grew up Baptist. That was a Tuesday morning. We had church Wednesday night in the Baptist church. And I remember I hadn't seen the church so full in a long time. And I think perhaps some of you can remember that after 9/11, there was such a surge at churches, people searching for meaning, trying to find answers, reaching out, clinging to some hope, looking for God. Asking the tough questions. Questions that we still ask today, don't we? How do these things happen? Why are people's hearts so filled with anger and hatred and bigotry that they kill other people? Why does that happen? Why does it happen here? Where is God in the midst of pain and suffering? And then the question that I think that we should ask, that these questions should prompt us toward, is the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? in the midst of all of this? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ in the midst of all of this? In a world filled with hurt and pain, where we ask questions that come with no real answer, what does it mean to live as a Christian? People dedicated to following Jesus, to living out His commandments here in our world, in America, in the United States, in 2001, in 2010, in 2016. What does it mean to follow Jesus in a world where people fly planes into buildings? When I come to the Sermon on the Mount, familiar words of Scripture to all of us. This is Jesus, one of His most famous bodies of teaching. The crowds are surrounding Jesus. His disciples are there, and He goes up and He starts to teach them. And He begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. And what He is giving those who are around Him is a set of instructions on how to live in this world. And then if you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, which goes from Matthew chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, we see that Jesus sort of sets up His thesis, which is the Beatitudes, ways to live in the world, and then He just expounds on that over and over and over again throughout the rest of the Sermon on the Mount about how to live out the Beatitudes, about what it means to follow Him. When I read the Beatitudes, I'm reminded of a sermon, one of the, probably, I dare say, the best sermon I have ever heard, by Bishop Michael Curry, who's now the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, gave a sermon called Crazy Christians, and how the world needs crazy Christians, because his thesis is that if we're actually to live out what Jesus teaches us, if we're to be peacemakers, if we're to be people who take Jesus seriously and actually live out the way He called us to live, then we're going to look a little bit crazy. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. If you want to be my servant, you must serve all. Well, how would that go over in America today? How would that go over in the Democrat and Republican parties? It's crazy. It's a little bit nutty. Because you see, we live in a world that tells us just the opposite of all these, doesn't it? Blessed are those who mourn. What is that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's a little bit crazy. But if we're going to follow what Jesus calls us to do in this world, if we're going to live out His teachings, then we got to be ready to be a little bit crazy. I want to share with you something that I read this morning. From a stewardess wrote this, and she was on a plane that was flying from Europe to the United States, and this happened on 9/11. And she wrote this little bit, and I want to share this with you because I think that it gets just a little bit of a tangible way during a tragedy, during a time of horror in our country, about what it means to really serve other people, to love other people, to be peacemakers, to be people following in the way of Jesus. So, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite lengthy, but there were several planes, and as you remember, on 9/11, as soon as the planes hit the tower, all air traffic was ordered to land at the nearest airport. And so she was a stewardess on a plane that was flying from Europe, and the closest airport was in Gander, which is in Newfoundland, in a province in Canada. So this is what she had to say. They've landed their plane, and they were told that there was a mechanical malfunction. Bits of news started to come in over the aircraft radio, and for the first time we learned that airplanes were flown into the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in D.C. People were trying to use their cell phones but were unable to connect due to a different cell system in Canada. Some did get through but were only able to get to the Canadian operator, who would tell them that the lines to the U.S. were either blocked or jammed. Sometime in the evening news, it was filtered to us that the World Trade Center buildings had collapsed and that a fourth hijacking had resulted in a crash. By now, the passengers were emotionally and physically exhausted, not to mention frightened, but everyone stayed amazingly calm. We only had to look out the window at the other 52 stranded aircraft to realize that we were not the only ones in this predicament. We had been told earlier that they would be allowing people off the planes one plane at a time. At 6 p.m., Gander Airport told us that our turn to deplane would be about 11 o'clock the next morning. Fortunately, we had no medical situations to worry about. We did have a young lady who was 33 weeks into her pregnancy. We took really good care of her. The night passed without incident despite the uncomfortable sleeping arrangements. At 10:30 on the morning of the 12th, a convoy of school buses showed up. We got off the plane and were taken to the terminal where we went through immigration and customs and then had to register with the Red Cross. After that, the crew were separated from the passengers and were taken in vans to a small hotel. We had no idea where the passengers were going. We learned from the Red Cross that the town of Gander had a population of 10,400 people and that they had 10,500 passengers to take care of from all of the airplanes that were forced down into that airport. We were told to just relax at the hotel and that we would be contacted when the U.S. airports opened again, but not to expect that call for some time. We found out the total scope of the terror back home only after getting to our hotel and turning on the TV, 24 hours after it all had started. Meanwhile, we had lots of time on our hands and found that the people of Gander were extremely friendly. They started calling us the plane people. We enjoyed their hospitality, explored the town of Gander, and ended up having a good time. 2 days later, we got the call and were taken back to the Gander airport. Back on the plane, we reunited with the passengers and found out what they had been doing for the past 2 days. What we found out was incredible. Gander and all the surrounding communities within a 75-kilometer radius had closed all high schools, meeting halls, lodges, and other large gathering places. They converted those facilities to mass lodging areas for all the stranded travelers. Some had cots set up, some had mats with sleeping bags and pillows. All of the high school students were required to volunteer their time to take care of the guests. Our 218 passengers ended up in a town called Lewisport, about 45 kilometers from Gander, where they were put up in a high school. Families were kept together. Elderly passengers were taken to private homes. The pregnant lady was put up in a private home right across the street from a 24-hour urgent care facility. Phone calls and emails to the U.S. and around the world were made available to everyone every day. Local bakeries stayed open all night to make fresh bread for the guests. Food was prepared by all the residents in their homes and brought to the schools and other places of lodging. People were driven to the restaurants of their choice and offered meals for free. Everyone was given tokens for the local laundromats to wash their clothes since luggage was still on the aircraft. In other words, every single need was met for those stranded travelers. When passengers came back on board, it was like they'd been on a cruise. Everyone knew each other by name. They were swapping stories of their stay, impressing each other with who had the better time. Passengers had totally bonded with each other and were calling each other by their first names, exchanging phone numbers, addresses, and emails. And then a very unusual thing happened. One of our passengers approached me and asked if he could make an announcement over the PA system. We never, ever allow that. But this time was different. I said, of course, and handed him the microphone. He picked up the PA and reminded everyone what they had just gone through over the past few days. He reminded them of the hospitality they had received at the hands of total strangers. He continued by saying that he would like to do something in return for the good folk of Lewisport. He was going to set up a trust fund under the name Delta 15, our flight number. The purpose of the trust fund was to provide college scholarships for the high school students in Lewisport. He asked for donations of any amount from the travelers. When the paper with donations got back to us with the amounts, names, phone numbers, and addresses, the total was far more than $14,000. The gentleman, a doctor from Virginia, promised to match the donations and to start the administrative work on the scholarship. He also said that he would forward this proposal to Delta Corporate and ask them to donate as well. As I write this, the trust fund is at more than $1.5 million. It has assisted 134 students in college education. I just wanted to share this story, the stewardess writes, because we need good stories. It gives us a little bit of hope to know that there are people in a faraway place were kind to some strangers who literally dropped in on them. It reminds me how much good there is in the world. Friends, that's living out the teachings of Jesus. That's living out the Beatitudes. That's living in the way that Jesus came to teach us how to live. Welcoming people in, trying to provide warmth and love and hospitality in the midst of a world that sometimes around us is too horrifying for words. And I believe that's where God shows up. That's where God is. That's where God is. That in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of horror, in the midst of violence, hatred and bigotry and anger, will people get together and refuse to let that evil win the day? Refuse to let it have the final word? Refuse to stop living in the way of Jesus when sometimes it would be easier just to give in and give up? But to persist, to live in that way, that's where God shows up. That's where God is. And that is what each one of us is called to do today and tomorrow and the next day and all our days to come. In the midst of whatever is going on around us in our world, in our community, in our lives, to live in the way of Jesus. To love when it would be easier to hate. To forgive when it would be easier to hold on to a grudge. To reach out in compassion when it might be easier just to stay within ourselves. That's how we start to bring hope and healing into this world. That's living in the way of Jesus. So friends, today on this day that we remember, this day that we pause, we remember the lives of those who've lost. Will you renew your dedication to live in the way of Jesus, to follow his teachings, to live as he taught us to live, so that the world around us might be a better place? May it be so. Amen. You turn in the insert in your bulletin, you'll see a litany of healing and hope for September 11th. I will lead this, and I invite you to respond in the bold print. When memories of terror reawaken the past and experiences of death, loss, and grief, then, when anger and inflamed passion tempt us to respond with violence and seek revenge, then, when we are enticed to give in to the illusion that war alone will resolve conflicts between enemies, then, when it feels like every menace, whether imagined or real, is a threat to our security and fills us with fear, then, when religion is used as an excuse to exclude, threaten, or destroy others, forgetting or ignoring all that unites us, then, when we become stuck in the past, unable to respond to the challenges we face with vision and hope, then, when we wrestle with how to create a better future for our children, even to the seventh generation, then, when we struggle to find a new and peaceful way to live in the world and forget that you, O God, are our help and salvation, then, O God of all peoples, nations, and creeds, you have created us and rejoiced in the goodness of creation and have wept with us when we have experienced death, loss, and grief. Send your healing presence into the world and endow all people, leaders, groups, and nations, with your vision of unity and peace, so that we and all people may move on from the wounds of the past and seek to live in harmony with one another, to the end that the goodness of your creation may be restored, enhanced, and sustained for the common good of all. Through mercies of your love and grace, and in your sure hope, O God, bring healing to the world. Please join me in prayer. Loving and holy God, we pause before you today, and we trust today in the promise that you will never leave or forsake us, that your mercies are new every day, and that your love will never let us go. God, this morning we lift up all of those who were affected on September 11th, 2001, for those who died, for families who lost loved ones, for those still toiling under the weight of that tragedy. We pray for your comfort, for your peace, and we pray for healing in our world. This morning we also lift up Ziva, Bruce, Tom, Lois, and Flo and family, asking for a special blessing on them today. And we also take a moment in our service this morning to lift up the names of other people and places that are on our hearts.